Oh. All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here. This is Grim's Hentai Corner. Yes, this is a game. I think. Oh, okay. There it goes. Okay, so, hey, my friend Linux. I've been working on the RetroPie for a while, so Debian and I and programming have become good friends. So I've got search and I've got exit. Or any other command. And put any command. How about run? Run command not found. Show help. Shut down this session. Start ALGM visualizer. Full screen. And the date. Let's try the date. March 14th of 2023. Wow. It knows what the date is. Start LGM visualizer. Screen is full screen. And shut down. So shut down probably just exits the game.
Yeah.
So we'll go with search. Because that's the only way you can really get into the game. By the way, for those of you that don't know, this is Tokyo Necro. You can buy it for, was it $45 at JAST? It might be cheaper than that. Hold on. I better give you guys the right price before we actually go in here because I don't want y'all to be like, Grim, you said it was, I didn't know this was $100. I doubt it would ever be $100, but if Manga Gamer sold it, it would. Haha, a little joke on them. I don't have anything against Manga Gamer. It's $35.99. It's 10% off, so get it right now. And it's number one, as I thought. Number one on JAST USA. So go get it if you like it. And this is an 8 GB file, guys. So, yeah, it's bigger than a lot of visual novels. It's got full motion animation, apparently. Might be like playing an anime. Okay. HLGM Visualizer. Holy shit. What the hell? We all live in a yellow submarine. It's kind of what it makes me think of. Alright, we got some Matrix shit now. Suspended bullets, and there's a chainsaw. Doom Guy's best friend. Ouch. Oh, there's some guns. And some numbers. And that's the back of a bullet. Oh, it's a zero. Yeah, if you guys have, like, epilepsy, you're probably fucked. I mean, that's stupidly bright. But you're, like, as fucked as you were if I played Dead on Aegis, because that shit goes white so many times, it's ridiculous. I get tired of the white text. By the way, this is how the game literally starts. Like, I don't even know if there's options. I don't know if I can change my text speed. I don't know what I can do. But when I know, you'll know. Which means you're going to have to deal with Grim
starting from a clean slate and figuring shit out.
Yeah, well, I have to go into the options menu because I have to figure out, you know, text and all that. By the way, I did not apply the gore filter because we're all adults here. If you can't handle little Guro, you're in the wrong fucking place. Neno ante mortem beatus. Nemo ante mortem beatus. No man is happy before his death. Herodotus, the histories. What the hell?
Well, we'll find out in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Thus begins the era of the necromancers. Oh, so it's not just a zombie apocalypse. They're fighting with the zombies. Might be cool. Yeah. Zombies with weapons? Okay. Oh, wow. Thus begins the era of the necromancers. All them fonts. Yep, that's me switching all the fonts. No, it's not me, but it's a reminder that I've done that a lot. I got 5,000 and something fonts on my computer.
Oh, yeah.
Their fonts are fun to have.
I definitely have several fonts.
Fonts are fun.
Google fonts get you a whole bunch of
fonts. Oh, yeah, that's where I got them. The sweet smell of... Let's try this again. We just started the game and I'm already fucking up. The sweet smell of frangipani fills the halls of endless summer. Water hyacinth sofas line the lobby and etched upon the walls are bas-relief floral patterns that leave faint shadows and dim lighting. Okay, now we can do it. I know, you guys didn't want to see this, did ya? Well, I'm sorry, but I like my text... fast. Hi. Everything better be high as hell. Economy? What is economy? Scene texture.
Efficient.
Basic settings. Text sample. I want my text fast. Play VGM. Allow skipping of red text, change color of red text, sync text display speed. Oh, yeah, you have to do it, there. There we go. Sorry, I have to do all this, guys. You knew I was gonna have to do it just because it had me do all this other shit.
I mean, they'll probably be able to fast forward if they don't like it.
Yeah. Cancel auto read rate for voice.
For the action myself.
Individual voice settings. I'm not fucking with that. Okay. Are we good, guys? I think we're good. Let's go. Yes. Okay. The South Sea summer theming of the room creates a subtly eerie atmosphere, matched by the equally eerie man standing at the reception desk. He has silver hair, swarthy skin, and sunken, bulging eyes. He looks like someone, but I don't know who. So I heard you rent out rooms here. As I rack my memory, Ethica passes me from the side and goes straight to the reception counter. I don't like these economy boxes very much. I might have to change that a little bit. I want my standard. Now, how do I do... For those of you who are aware of my... Okay, 4-8... anti-aliasing at 8. I'm trying to make this as good-looking as humanly possible. I have a decent computer. Highest on shadows. Text box type. I want a text box that... Okay. Change color of text. I'm trying to find... I guess they don't have an opacity. Usually what I do is I turn my opacity down on my text box. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like I'm able to do that here. I can't do anything about it. So we'll just have to go with that. You can hide the text box, though. But all that does is hide the text box. As I rack my memory, Ethica passes me from the side and goes straight to the reception counter. Welcome, you heard correctly. The receptionist smiles awkwardly, but he's missing one front tooth. My gaze is drawn irresistibly to the gap. At least we can see a little bit. Can we request a girl too? I love threesomes, you see. Yes, of course, pick any of these lovely ladies. I've got no preference. Send whoever you recommend. But the more experienced, the better, I guess. I might go a little hard. I look on uncomfortably as Ethica whispers something into the receptionist's ear with a warm smile. I'm not a good negotiator, so it's best to leave these sorts of things to her. Oh, right. When she's done talking, Ethica starts heading to the elevator, only to stop and turn back around. She addresses the receptionist again. Oh, shit. By the way, I just love pegging him from behind with a strap on. Oof.
Yeah. That's that damn,
I don't know from experience,
Jack Murphy.
But I can imagine.
That's that Jack Murphy alpha shit right there.
But I forgot mine. Can you send one with the girl? As you wish. Please enjoy yourselves. The receptionist casts a glance in my direction, grinning condescendingly. If this is how the receptionist reacts to patron's special needs, then this can't be a very high-quality establishment. What was that about? It's just for show, that's all. You'd be more suspicious at an establishment like this if you're not a pervert or an infomaniac. But still. Hey, it's not like I'm straight. Excuse me, it's not like I'm straight myself. So just deal with it. Yeah, we know you're not straight.
Pegging. Oh no! Are you actually interested in being pegged? I'm not. I put my foot down. You're damn right you put your foot down. Knowing Ethica, she might actually do it out of curiosity. Oh no! Don't worry! You'll be a real man!
More importantly, what were you whispering into his ear? How many days I want to use the room? That I want to lock that guy up. And to not even respond to him, And to not respond to him, even if he contacts reception. Guy didn't even blink at the request. I guess renting out prison rooms is just another form of business for him. So the intel is correct? Maybe it is. Our target is Tang Yongshan, the man thought to be the principal offender in the kidnapping of the vice governor a few days ago. We just received intel this morning that he was hiding out here in Endless Summer, so we immediately went undercover as patrons to investigate. But if he's hiding in a place like this 3 days after the kidnapping, then... Is he confining someone here? Maybe a princess. Doubtful. It'd be real romantic swooping in to rescue her and all. Man. A silent hallway greets us. There's not a sound to be heard, not even the whirring of an air conditioner. It feels like even our own footsteps simply dissipate. Unidentifiable stone statues line the walls. Our room's at the end of the hall. Wow, look at that. God damn, this room is tacky. Tacky? You think so? We take a look around the room without sitting down. The interior design looks like someone just found a database of Balinese furniture, ordered everything, and just crammed it all into one room. To top it all off, there's a sturdy set of handcuffs hanging from the ceiling. There they are. And I don't mean the fuzzy BDSM handcuffs, but the kind you use for restraining a prisoner. That does make sense. I see how it is. Ethica and I exchange glances, silently signaling our next move. Funny that they call her Ethica, because she doesn't really have a sense of ethics. I slip my hand into my coat as she approaches the door. At that very moment, the doorknob begins to turn. The door opens to reveal a woman standing in the silent hall. She's wearing essentially nothing but underwear underneath an expensive red shawl. Just one look, and you can tell she's a prostitute. You must be the girl we requested. Come on in. Let's enjoy ourselves. Something tells me this is gonna go bad. The woman enters the room without responding, her eyes concealed by a pair of large mirrored sunglasses. She then reaches her hand out to Ethica's shoulder. Oh my! Someone's rather forward! Ethica pushes back, brushes away the woman's arm, and grabs at her face. She yanks off the mirrored sunglasses, revealing empty, dusky red eye sockets, which means this woman is a... living dead! Come on! Ethica kicks the living dead away from her without a moment of hesitation. At the same time, I whip out my .45 caliber muzzle spike pistol to re-eliminate her. I ready my sights, aim at the head, and pull the trigger. The magnum bullet penetrates the living dead skull, obliterating its brain and sending its body flying out of the room. Oh my, so are we playing on defense now? This isn't the time for fun. Get changed. Our cover is blown, no point in trying to lie low. I open my bag and put on my jet black X-Brain. Cool! Like Metroid now. I pull out another .45 caliber muzzle spike pistol and hold it in my other hand. I can see myself reflected in the full-length mirror on the wall. My name is Nagiaka Soon? Private Special Living Dead Stalker. Hey, I think we have... Oh, we do. An individual recognized by the government for their skills and granted the right to pursue and eliminate living dead. While they are private individuals, they enjoy special privileges. They may bear arms and are entitled to treatment at the military police hospital. Are there a couple more that we might have forgotten? Holographic cube, perhaps. Oh, what did I do? I don't know what I did. Oh, neat. Don't know what that does, but cool, I guess. Database.
I have to look it up for next time.
The blood of the... We won't be doing it next time. The blood of the living dead assumes a sickening shade of dusky red, providing an easy way to identify lo-fis and uncamouflaged hi-fis. It is possible for a necromancer to disguise the color of their creation's blood. As such, while anyone who bleeds dusky red is a living dead, anyone who bleeds red is not necessarily a human. Endless Summer, Whorehouse, and Kabukicho. A Whorehouse in Kabukicho. Or Kabuki... I think it's Kabukicho. Kabukicho. That's it. Kabukicho. X-Brain. Literally an external brain, a device used to expand the wearer's consciousness and aid in the split-second decision-making necessary for CQAMA, a vital tool in the fight against the living dead. Capable of analyzing an opponent's actions and comparing them to accumulated data in order to protect their next move. This information is relayed to the wearer in the form of suggestions and alerts. Developed jointly by the Close Quarters and Armed Martial Arts Training Unit at Tokyo University. Okay. Kibonohara Ethica. Or Kibonohara. It's Kibonohara. A private special living dead stalker working for the Karasuzumi Living Dead Stalker Agency. The daughter of Kibonohara Hokiyasu, raised together with Aiso Kiriri? Like sisters, whatever. X, based on her gut instinct, the type to shoot first, ask questions later. See, it's better when you hear it, when they say the names, then you can pronounce them. A lesbian who just can't get enough of pretty girls. Capable of wielding a wide variety of weapons based on what a given combat situation demands. Her go-to is a portable chainsaw called Rabbit Punch. Living dead. Okay, a corpse that has been reanimated by a necromancer via an infusion of lemurs. A living dead obeys its master's commands unconditionally. If these orders cease for any reason, they will act purely on violent instinct, attacking any and all humans they come in contact with. When their brains and hearts function once more, lemurs alone cannot restore a living dead's immune system. Unless preventative measures are taken, they will rot away like any other corpse. It is impossible to preserve a living dead's emotions indefinitely. While it is possible to slow their decay, it is considered impossible for a living dead to retain their emotions for longer than 2 weeks. As living dead are not legally considered corpses, destroying them is not seen as a violation of laws against desecrating corpses. This is the guy you play as, Nagawaka Suong. He works for the Living Dead Stalker Agency, the son of Nagaoka Takeyuki, legendary pioneer of close quarters arms martial arts. Ah, wields dual pistols equipped with muzzle spikes known as re-eliminators and fights using, you know, we know about those. Calm and collected but bad at expressing his emotions. His partner, Ethica, is known to needle him about this. Necromancer. General term for any person versed in necromancy. Necromancers first rose to prominence during the Sino-American War, where they popularized necrotack as a combat strategy. Left with no place to go after the war, many necromancers have turned to criminal activity, becoming a plague on society the world over. Melgrim can be seen as their leader of sorts. A significant number of necromancers have aligned themselves with his ideals as part of the antibiotic front. Living dead are puppets of necromancer who created them, subservient to their every whim. The Re-Eliminator. 44 caliber pistol, equipped with muzzle spikes, can be loaded with 30 round magazines. Combined with its muzzle spikes, this makes for a very effective weapon in combat against groups. Generally wielded two at a time, utilized in an official capacity by the Close Quarter Armed Martial Arts Training Unit. Tang Yun Shan, a necromancer, eyed as a prime suspect in the abduction of the Vice Governor. The kidnapping of the Vice Governor refers to Tokyo Vice Governor Toriyama Kihon being abducted after visiting the fortress. That's all the tips. For now. I make a living killing the dead. Let's go, Song. Have you turned on your X-Brain? Fine. Ethica, who has also changed into her combat uniform, clicks her tongue and lights up her hologlasses. Damn it, there was another turn. Supposed to click on them. Head-mounted displays that use holographic optical elements to project high-fidelity images. On their own, hologlasses only function as a display and are generally paired with the wearer's Kinect ring in order to act as a monitor of sorts. They possess many advantages compared to holocontacts: greater volume of HOEs for enhanced visual quality, easier to maintain and repair, lower strain placed on the user's eyes, etc. While I use a helmet-style X-Brain, hers is a simpler, more convenient design. It's a cutting-edge model with brainwave sensors small enough to be mistaken for accessories and hologlasses for information display. She hates turning it on for some reason, but this is a battlefield now. It is impossible to determine when and when not to shoot in a city environment without assistance, so she needs the X-Brain whether she likes it or not. Okay, now let's go, Song. Sure. Hey, livelies and gentlemen, get your asses to the stairs if you want to live. Otherwise, I can't guarantee nothing. Love that art. Ethica revs up her portable chainsaw. It's like something straight out of an old horror movie. She calls it Rabbit Punch. Ethica's trademark portable chainsaw. It uses a superconducting motor. Its blade is made with ultra-hard polycrystalline diamonds. Superconducting motors are generally very quiet, but Ethica modified the one in Rabbit Punch to operate at ear-splitting volumes. Just because it would be way cooler that way, according to her. So you can ramp up the power even further with something called overheat mode, but this destroys the blade. Normally, its superconducting motor would be much quieter, but Ethica modded it to be obnoxiously loud for the aesthetic. A small lightweight motor that utilizes high temperature superconductivity to produce output greater than that of motors much larger in size. Very expensive, but worth the cost. Made use of by a variety of military technology. They say that a pet resembles its odor, and Ethica's pet happens to be a chainsaw. They say, you seem happy. I just love my job, you know. She winks at me. It's like she's forgotten this is a life and death situation. And if you're occupied at the moment, at least get away from the door. Ethica plunges Rabbit Punch into the wall of the hallway. Its ferocious teeth bite into the door through the middle, wrenching it open. And through the jagged opening we see, a man and a woman, passionately making love. The living dead don't have sex, so these are humans. Why the hell aren't you running for your lives? Didn't you hear the groaning? Soundproof rooms. The brothel's walls are coated in nano-absorbers that can easily negate the roar of a chainsaw. Sound insulation material using nanofiber sheets produced by electrospinning. I need some of those. Capable of blocking sound nearly completely. Far thinner than equivalent substances of the past. Used in places like whorehouses and police investigation rooms. Wow, that's...
Trying to do some horror. Keep it down in there.
Two completely different things. Whorehouses and police investigation rooms.
Yep. One goes hand in hand with the other.
Ha! Really throws you off your groove. Excuse me.
Huh?
Yeah? It's the receptionist frowning at the fragments of the fractured door underfoot.
Holograph, whatever you had, because it was showing the...
Maybe.
Yeah.
My bad. Not a moment after Ethica apologizes, my ex-brain passes judgment, setting my body in motion automatically. I strike the receptionist in the gut with my muzzle spike, yank down his neck as his body buckles, and give him one more strike for good measure as he loses his balance. A fragment of the chainsaw door pierces through his neck and juts out of his chest. That should spell instant death for any living man. But he's not a living man. But the receptionist trying to get a gun from his coat pocket, regardless. He's still not living. He's moving while dead. That's not fresh human blood pooling on the floor. It's dusky red. So he's a hi-fi, huh? Ethica mutters to herself as she kicks the gun out of the man's hand. The prostitute from earlier was a visibly decayed lo-fi living dead. The receptionist, however, is a hi-fi living dead, theoretically capable of masquerading as a human to some extent. Lo-fi living dead has been infused with lemurs and nothing else. Commonly called ghouls, yeah. Lo-fis were used extensively in operations during the Sino-American War as a cost-effective source of raw manpower. While their physical abilities greatly exceed those of living humans, lo-fis rot at the same speed as regular corpses as such. Their muscles and ligaments degrade rapidly. Hi-fi living dead. Generic term for any living dead that has been enhanced in some way by its necromancer after being infused with lemurs. They may be modified for combat or disguised as living humans used as spies. Basically, a hi-fi is not anything other than the standard zombie. The more time and effort spent on them, the more human they appear. On closer inspection, you can see a thin layer of dusky red staining his gums due to his missing front tooth. But it'd be hard to catch that at a moment's notice. I should probably thank my ex-brain's swift judgment.
Yeah.
Should we re-kill him? He's a valuable specimen. Besides, we don't have time. I look up as my ex-brain indicates new enemies approaching. The door opens, revealing a horde of ghouls, that is, lo-fi living dead. Common way of referencing lo-fi living dead. Okay. Rolling out the red carpet, I see. Ethica starts dashing through the halls like a bloodthirsty beast, rabbit punch howling in her hand. She doesn't even care that she's spraying rotten meat everywhere. Damn! One of them was like a kid! One by one, she re-kills every last ghoul flooding the hallway. And she looks like a child frolicking in a water fountain while doing it. Meanwhile, I follow my ex-brain's instructions and start clearing the map of Endless Summer. There are no more enemies in the room that those living dead just left out of. I shot open the door of the room across the hall and go inside. Damn, some of these living dead can get it. I stoop down, easily dodging what once may have been a lovely prostitute, and counter with a muzzle spike strike. Even he agrees.
What a lovely prostitute.
The prostitute collapses into a puddle of dusky red. Undead prostitute. But I move on to the next room without giving her a second look. Clear. Next room. Clear. Next room. Shots fired. Clear. Next room. Clear. I guess that's about it for this floor. Guess so. Before I know it, the map's all green, but the hallway's dusky red with the corpses of over a dozen living dead. Next floor. I guess all the prostitutes are zombies. That's one way to run a business. When we rush down the stairs, we're greeted by a hallway stained pure red. Rows of doors flung wide open and... a horde of ghouls staring voraciously at us. Step right up, folks. Ethica smiles as she flicks the blood off of Rabbit Punch. This isn't a game. My ex-brain estimates it'll take a minimum of 3 minutes to subdue this floor, plenty of time for Tang Yushan to escape. I bring up the intercom on my ex-brain. Tokitaka, how's it looking outside? Private Special Living Dead Stalker working for the agency. Specializes in sniping using his Ogasawa TFD-20. A math fetishist with a sharp tongue. Not many people get along with him. Nothing's changed. How about underground? I can't rule out any possibilities. Be quick! The military police have been tipped off. Organization created in August 2150 in order to deal with threats to the public order. To public order, the existing police organization was incapable of dealing with. Ah. Authorized to utilize targeted force to efficiently counteract terrorism and criminal activity, possesses a great deal of sway in government affairs. Began as a special operations police, a group founded in 2143 to combat criminal activity involving the automatic vehicle network and mesh network. We may have gotten a little carried away. We're in the middle of Kabukicho. We'll get that right. Kabukicho. The military police can be here in 5 minutes flat. I'll go underground. You're gonna hog all the fun to yourself again? We can't afford to abandon the mission. But we can't leave these ghouls prowling around either. So we split up the work in situations like these. Come back alive, okay? I will, even if it kills me. After our usual banter, I rush down the stairs to track down and kill the criminal mastermind who turned this brothel into a den of the living dead. Necromancer Tang Yushan. After seeing Saloon off, I take another look at around the brothel hallway. That's the sound you make when you're trying to something's stuck.
Constipated.
Yeah, that too. It can be, well, it's also when something's stuck and you're trying to yank on it. God damn it. But it can also be the sound you make when you're constipated.
Yep. He's turtle heading, but ain't nothing wanting to break the dam.
Yep, I've been there before. Oh boy, the crowd just loves me. But it's too bad, lo-fis and gentlemen. I'm only interested in living cuties. Alright, now that my ex-brain's given me proper authorization, I put my chainsaw back into my coat. And instead, I take out my AA-24 Custom, a fully automatic shotgun equipped with an extra-large bayonet. 32-round drum magazine fully automatic shotgun customized for anti-living dead combat, outfitted with a bayonet. Overkill for any human opponent, but overkill is exactly what's necessary when dealing with the living dead. This baby's one of my favorites, along with Rabbit Punch. I slot in the 12-gauge 00-00-buck drum magazine. Now I'm armed and ready. Time for another exciting day at work. Living dead brains bust in the barrage of buckshots. Their flesh is torn to shreds like berries in a blender. I get covered from head to toe in the bloodbath, or shall I call it a flesh fountain? Either way, I keep pushing forward. No skin off my back, only theirs. This weapon would be overkill against humans, and I rarely get the authorization to use it in the middle of the city like this. Which means this is a rare chance for me to use the shit out of this shotgun as much as I fucking want. Death to the dead, bang bang. This is life. Or this is the life, rather. I break down the lock, kick down the door, and take a look around inside. Blue, white, green, black, pink, and violet, a wide variety of vivid colors, all painted over by the scarlet and crimson hues of rotten flesh and blood. Damn, they're all pretty. Pretty bad when the zombies look better than the women these days. And in the center of the room are women in their underwear, draped in colorful shawls and gowns. Or to be more specific, they used to be women.
Still got a vagina.
And strewn over in the corner of the room, ah, yes, those must be ampules of lemurs used for necromancy. Whole damn lot of them, too. A liquid which necromancers inject into corpses in order to reanimate them has no effect on living humans. Made from a mixture of various unlife-giving substances, micro-machines to transmit stimulated nervous signals, bio-actuators to supplement muscle and organ functionality, and even artificial stem cells, modern science has yet to determine how or why exactly this disparate blend of ingredients is capable of resurrecting the dead. The craft with which necromancers reanimate modify the dead. Corpses reanimated with lemurs regain brain function. Their hearts begin to pump blood once more. However, they are slaves to their necromancer, beholden to their every whim. A necromancer who has perfected their art may control any number of living dead over great distances. Their creations may even be made to perfectly resemble living humans and act as they did in life. Interesting. And as she said, and strewn all over in the corner of the room, ah, yes, those must be ampules of lemurs used for necromancy. Whole damn lot of them, too. No doubt about it, this place is fucked. Sorry, you're not my type. Two shots in the chest, two in the head. I switch targets and give her two in the chest, two in the head as well. My ex-brain warns me that I'm using excessive force. This thing's such a worrywart. It won't shut up about the risk of running out of ammo. Necromancers make dead bodies into living dead. Living dead make living bodies into dead bodies. And those dead bodies are made into living dead in turn. It's an endless cycle of death. Living humans are a pain to make use of. They require well-regulated diets and temperatures, and an adequate amount of sleep as well. They don't like being moved against their will, and you can only squeeze a certain number of them in a truck. But you get none of those problems with the living dead, and you can make as many of them as you want, so long as you've got the dead bodies. For all I know, there could be even 100 living dead crammed into the next room. And my ex-brain's equipped to warn me of any potential danger so I can see where it's coming from. Believe me, I can see where it's coming from. But it could afford to put a little more faith in... But it could afford to put a little more faith in little old Ethica here, you know? This is a tiny hotel. A few measly lo-fis here and there are no problem for me. And if I run out of shotgun ammo, I can just re-kill them with my bayonet. If anything's gonna be a problem for me, it's... Oh, fuck, a duck! Suddenly, a giant rears its head, forcing its way into the narrow hall. He's at least twice as big as the average man, with bulging muscles and swelling forth all across his body, and liver mortis spots speckling his... It says liver mortis. Liver mortis spots speckling his dark, ashy skin. But what really draws the eye is how he stands. His right side is more swollen than his left. His right arm's maybe twice as thick as his left, making his balance awkward. He's a heavily armed living dead. That's why you've got to develop muscle evenly, man. I definitely want to know what that is. Hi-fi specifically modified for combat. There are no standard models, so to speak. Most of them are outfitted with a wide variety of firearms, often augmented with the body parts of other corpses in order to enhance their combat efficacy. It's pretty much a bio-mutant, like from... it's a bio-weapon, like from Resident Evil.
Yeah.
The living dead have no emotions, which obviously means they don't appreciate humor. Even if they did, it's not like I can see his facial expression anyway. Guess that joke didn't hit! I lower my hips and prepare for the recoil. And let loose with my fully automatic shotgun. Bits of the open door get blown off in the crossfire. But how about that? My ex-brain interrupts my comedy act with a warning as I dodge to the side before I even get a chance to think. Explosions roar, empty shells fall, holes open and walls. The heavily armed living dead's Browning M2 heavy machine gun shreds up not just the door but the entire hallway. 12-gauge Magnum shells are a waste against a behemoth like that. I hate to admit it, but I agree with my ex-brain's conclusion. I hide behind a corner of the hallway and prepare myself. With a body that huge, it should have trouble moving through a cramped hallway like this, so I should just approach carefully and... The heavily armed living dead kicks down the wall and enters the hall. It starts roaring as if to assert dominance. Here we go, you bastard! I ignore my ex-brain's warning and unload my shotgun in quick succession, advancing forward step by step, taking care not to slip on the viscera. Explosions ring out around me, but not a single bullet hits its mark. My shotgun's aimed at his right hand. Even if I can't put a scratch on that behemoth, I can at least divert the aim of his machine gun. My ex-brain's warning escalates to the next tier. Can it, dumbass? I'm aware. Damn. I try finishing up with another fully automatic barrage and the heavily armed living dead falls over, but I run out of bullets in the process. The warning from my ex-brain might as well be saying, I told you so. Oh, shit. And despite the behemoth supposedly not having any emotions, it calmly picks itself up as if to mock me. And as it aims its heavy machine gun at my face. Nowhere to run. Not that I feel like running. Heads up! When I hurl my empty AA-24 custom at it, the behemoth swipes it away, leaving him wide open. Thanks to that fake out and a quick knee slide, the behemoth's unable to react quickly enough. I pull my chainsaw out of my coat and switch it on. I swing my ferocious lever down hard, cutting into the giant walking corpse's arm. This ain't your average everyday chainsaw. The blade's composite of a ultra-hard polycrystalline diamond and cemented carbide. What was the other one? That was the Living Dead Stalker. Okay, informal term. Polycrystalline diamond made with particles 10 nanometers in size, both harder and more resilient than monocrystalline diamond. Okay. Granular metallic carbide cemented into a composite, often used to augment the skeletal system for increased defensive capabilities. Some necromancers go as far as to replicate their entire skull with cemented carbide as a means of protecting their brain. Come on! I feel something hard underneath the rotten flesh. My chainsaw's biting into the reinforced bone, a characteristic of heavily armed living dead, meant to provide the structural integrity to support swollen muscles and heavily artillery. The type of exoskeleton most commonly used by combat-oriented living dead enables them to withstand incredible shocks and wield weaponry far too heavy for a human. Contains tungsten alloys harmful for living humans. Dusky red gore splatters everywhere as the high-pitched roar of metal cutting metal fills the air. Not like you bastards can even feel pain. The behemoth tries desperately to knock me away as I cut off its arm, but... Your arm's gonna have to be better than that. Or your aim, rather. Your aim's gonna have to be better than that. The heavily armed living dead falls to the ground, carried by the leftover momentum from its failed strike. Without missing a beat, I stab my chainsaw into the back of its head. As the blade sinks in, I can clearly feel the resistance of its skull. It's quite hard, perhaps reinforced with cemented carbide for protection itself. The intense friction causes Rabbit Punch to let out an unpleasant whine, but that ain't enough to stop us. I put some backbone into it and shove the chainsaw deeper in until the resistance gives way for a squishy sensation and rotten gray matter spews out the back of its head. I give the contents of the skull a few good stirs and the heavily armed living dead goes completely silent. One down. This feels amazing. Killing the dead really brings me to life. Get it? Oh boy. Rabbit Punch shuts out the back of the behemoth's head like a grave post, its engine jammed. It's stuck in the corpse's head pretty hard. Why would I pull this thing out? I stare in disbelief at the warning on my ex-brain. The hotel service is just too good to be true. The fuck?
one.
What comes out from the elevator is a second high-functioning, heavily armed living dead. Its grotesque appearance differs slightly from the one I just fought, but it slowly walks under the door and into the elevator hall with a similar gait. My chainsaw is still stuck, and my shotgun's out of ammo. So what's my most effective method of attack in this situation? My ex-brain doesn't answer the question. Useless piece of shit. I turn around, pick up the first behemoth's right arm, and ready the Browning M2 heavy machine gun that was attached to it. I lower my stance, plant my body weight onto the hole-ridden floor, and... Even with the behemoth's body to absorb some of it, the recoil of the fully automatic heavy machine gun is brutal. It takes everything I've got to maintain my stance. Even so, I keep my aim steady and the efforts pay off. The similar heavy machine gun got the second behemoth's right hand succumbs... The similar heavy machine gun on the second behemoth's right hand succumbs to the onslaught. But it's not quite that easy. Even without a usable weapon, a behemoth's still a behemoth. It charges in like a wind bull. There's no way to handle it head on. And this heavy machine gun just ran out of bullets. Damn it. Finally, a suggestion. Well, it's not like I've got any other options. For better or worse, I agree with my ex-brain. I face the behemoth barehanded. I'm getting chills. Wonderful. Couldn't ask for more. I check out the map my ex-brain's projecting onto my holograph glasses. Right before the behemoth swing makes contact, I slide my body across the floor. Lubricated by blood and gore, the floor offers no friction at all, allowing me to easily slide underneath my opponent. I rush into the elevator hall and jam the button to go down. The elevator the behemoth arrived in should still be behind this door. My hand leaves a dusky red print on the touch panel, but the door just doesn't open. Damn it, hurry up! As I wait for the elevator, the living dead pivots and grabs me by the neck, shoving me against the door. The heavily armed living dead starts strangling me with superhuman strength. I place my hand on the behemoth's arm and desperately try to pry it off me, but my consciousness gradually starts. My world tumbles over. The door opens up from behind me, causing the living dead to lose its support and tumble forward. Work smarter, not harder. As I get pushed down the floor, I use all my strength to kick the behemoth away. A simple throw isn't enough to inflict a fatal wound on a heavily armed living dead, but I've got a little something-something. I pull a black lunchbox out of my coat, hurl it to the behemoth, and run out of the elevator. Took you long enough. Tokutaka gives a curt response over the communications device, but I can tell he's smiling. I'm sure he's been waiting for this exact moment with bated breath out there on the cold rooftop. The behemoth gets back up and tries to lunge this way, but it's a half step too slow. Going down to hell! I shoot a smile through the closing door before turning my back to the elevator. We call this a STTW, Sense Through the Wall system. As the name implies, a device used to sense and track opponents through solid walls, a form of portable Doppler radar, collects data on an opponent's heartbeat, respiration, footsteps, etc., sometimes called a black lunchbox. Think of it as a type of portable, personal Doppler radar. It can aggregate data on heartbeats, footsteps, and breathing in order to compile accurate, real-time information on an enemy's whereabouts through walls. A thunderous roar bellows out from beneath my feet, too loud for even the nano-absorbers to silence. The building's west wall is thinner than the others, and against our partner Tokutawa's Ogasara TFD-20, it may as well just be paper. A 20mm anti-material rifle used by Tokutaka, made with polyamide plastic. Lightweight, but extremely durable. Equipped with a bayonet, can be used as a naginata in close-range combat. With STTW guidance, the 20mm anti-material rifle pierces the wall and shreds through the behemoth. That's part fine and dandy, rather. But I sigh as I'm enveloped in the smoke billowing up from the lower floor. Looks like the force of the impact caused the elevator wire to snap. That was overkill. That's rich coming from you. I retrieve my chainsaw and take a look around the brothel. It's wrecked beyond recognition, covered in dusky red blood and guts from top to bottom. Yeah, I guess he has a point. Holy shit. That was interesting. After splitting up with Ethica, I rush down the stairs. As I approach the main hall, I feel an intense gaze. 10 more minutes, guys. It's a man in a military uniform, Teng Yun Shan. I don't even need my X-Brain to identify him for me. I'm certain it's him, but what's uncertain is, why is he looking this way? His gaze is neither coldly analytical nor viciously hate-filled. It's simply quiet, almost as if he's looking through me. I feel something from him, but what? Is this some sort of trap? If so, then what? My X-Brain remains silent. Teng Yun Shan turns his back and heads toward the underground parking lot via the stairs on the other side, his hair fluttering behind him. Cars exit at the front of the hotel. I take a hesitant step forward, only to be met with a horde of ghouls. The building's too cramped to avoid them, but I don't have time to stop and deal with them either. My X-Brain remains silent, which means I just need to handle things the same way as usual. With Re-Eliminator in hand, I leap towards the horde of ghouls. My X-Brain offers suggestion for dealing with 3 ghouls in front of me. First, the one attacking from the left. I sweep away the living dead's hand, counter with a muzzle spike strike, and shoot at the same time. 1 second later, an enemy rushes from the left. The optimal action is a front kick, so I follow the suggestion and kick away the ghoul that comes grabbing at me. I could very easily finish the second one off now that it's lost its balance, but my X-Brain instructs me to prioritize the third one. I oblige. The third living dead comes at me with its arms raised, looking for a fight, so I humor it by letting it catch me. It grips me hard enough that its fingertips begin to collapse in on themselves with strength not fettered by instinct as a human's would be. But I've thoroughly trained my body and built my muscles. It would take more than this to stop me. I calmly stick my muzzle into the living dead's mouth and pull the trigger. When the third one gets blown away, part of my visor gets covered in gore, but dealing with it can wait. I hear a voice from behind and realize that the second one's crawling on the floor to grab my left foot. I follow the suggestion and point a re-eliminator behind me to the left. I pull the trigger once my X-Brain confirms a lock-on. Ghoul brains fly as I wipe my visor with my free right hand. 23 enemies. My X-Brain gives me an ETA of 1 minute and 2 seconds. But will Teng Yun Shan wait that long? Time doesn't stop for me to think. I have less than 3 seconds per enemy. My X-Brain suggests to rush through the hallway where the ghouls are waiting for me, so I do just that. I use a somewhat unique style of martial arts. It's known as the Close Quarters Arm Martial Arts. A close-range fighting style developed to combat necro-attack. Allows practitioners to conserve ammunition with precise shots from close range and transition immediately to melee combat if need be. Highly efficient in dealing with groups of opponents. Combines a variety of fighting techniques and weapons into one style. Japan's Close Quarter Arm Martial Arts Training Unit refined it even further by integrating the use of an X-Brain and its suggestions. So X-Brain is basically AI. It's like ChatGPT or ChatGPT-4 on steroids. It was developed by the military to combat necromancers. There are many points of difference between anti-personnel combat and anti-living dead combat. Living dead are not bound by human resource limitations and can multiply as long as there are dead bodies available. If you see one, there's 100. That's the ironclad rule of anti-living dead combat. Furthermore, the enemy doesn't fear death. Their hearts have already stopped, so gunshots to the chest and abdomen aren't nearly as effective as in anti-personnel combat. What is effective, however, is destruction of the brain through gunshots to the head. From these principles, we derived the basic theory of anti-living dead combat, how to maximize damage to living dead brains while minimizing ammo consumption. By using an X-Brain, you can maximize this brain damage to bullet efficiency, and thus close quarters arm martial arts was born. I slam a ghoul in the face with a muzzle spike attached to the front of my gun, a reliably lethal blow from point-blank range. 30 seconds have elapsed, 2 more living dead have appeared, but only 12 remain in total. There's still a long way to go to the exit, but it's not a bad place. I purge my mind of emotion. No need to think. No need to feel. I let my X-Brain take care of that. My X-Brain is my trusty partner that I wear on my head, a second external brain that serves as expansion of my consciousness, and above all, an indispensable component of close quarters arm martial arts. From time immemorial, martial arts are performed with the subconscious mind. Obviously, you might start out consciously deciding how to maximize damage inflicted to your enemy, and the quickest way to eliminate them, as well as the safest method of execution. A conscious decision simply required too much time. Your reactions lag. As you gain more experience, your body learns and you begin to process things subconsciously. Your subconscious passes its accumulated knowledge to your conscious. Your body reacts to danger on its own and you can choose the most effective responses without even thinking. However, even the subconscious is physically limited as the inherent hardware speaks of the human brain. But those physical limitations don't apply to the X-brain. The X-brain can see invisible wavelengths of light, process data with greater precision and clarity than biological neurons can muster, and draw knowledge from a database far surpassing the capacity of the human brain. It works like an electric subconscious even without instructions. It outputs clear, concise information on how to defeat enemies, represented to the wearer's conscious mind as pictograms. I entrust everything to my X-brain and become a machine, operating entirely based on reaction. Dodge, I dodge. Strike, I strike. Fire, I fire. Input and output, that's all there is to it. My X-Brain and I are joined as one. Our singular tests convert input to output. Before I know it, I've made my way across the lobby. Behind me are 28 living dead corpses. Exactly 1 minute has passed, and my long 30-round magazines are both just over half full. My name is Nagaoka Saloon, top class living dead stalker. I make a living killing the dead. When I exit Endless Summer from the front, a tumultuous Kabukicho greets me. I remove my blood-splattered X-brain. The humid night air blows against my face. Chinese merchants peddle guns at street stalls. American prostitutes turn tricks with seductive smiles. Garish holograms shine. Lattices of hot pipes fill the gaps between buildings. Tokyo's infrastructure is supported by a network of pipes which deliver steam throughout the city as a source of energy and heat. Melted snow, sea ice, runoff, and sewage water are pumped into the bowels of Tokyo, where heat from artificial geothermal reservoirs located near central hot zones is used to convert them into pressurized steam at 300 degrees Celsius. Their steam is then run through the hot pipe network and used to bring life to Tokyo. The steam does more than simply help to melt snow and stave off the encroaching cold. It is used to heat homes and power turbines, providing Tokyo citizens comfort and electricity necessary to subsist in the ice age of 2199. It is the central hot zone that is Tokyo's heart, then the hot pipes are its veins. The hot pipe network itself was constructed using existing infrastructure such as the Yamanote Line and Chudo Expressway. Pipe density was determined in accordance with population density, so many less populous areas have been left frozen, forgotten, deprived of nurturing heat of the hot pipes network steam. It's 2199 in Kabukicho in Shinjuku, Tokyo. Whoops. Oh, that's cool. That was our backlog, by the way. And today's just another typical day for us. Wow. Okay. Shockwaves from behind cause the area to stir. That could either be Ethica or Toketaka at work, so check it out, I put my X-brain back on. But then I hear the screeching of tires ring out from the slope leading to the underground parking lot. The compressed air car headlights shine right at me. An automobile powered by compressed air. Compressed air can be refilled at compressed air stations to replace the gas stations of yore. More than 90% of automobiles currently in operation in Tokyo are compressed air vehicles. Despite the light whiting out everything in sight, I put my fingers on the triggers, and the driver's seat Tang Yun Shan gives me that look again. My X-brain warns me that there's a hostage on board. I leap to the side, narrowly avoiding the car as it accelerates into the crowded street. It drives through hordes of screaming pedestrians as it slips through the alleys of the hotel district. I chase after the car as I call my associate. He should be waiting on a roof nearby with an anti-material rifle in his hand. Is it finally my turn? Wait, he has a hostage on board. Yeah, so? I'm counting on you. That wasn't part of the plan. It's rare for me to make a request like this during an operation. Is it because of that look from Teng Yun Shan? I'll aim for the tires. Obviously, shooting the tires of a moving car in the middle of the city with the hot pipes running everywhere would be difficult for any ordinary sniper. But Tokutaka's not just an ordinary sniper. He's a math maniac with a number fetish. And there we go! That's it for Tokyo Necro. Okay, I'm not going to be doing this one for a while. I just wanted to do this as a teaser. And there'll probably be about two more visual novels I do before we even jump on this. And the reason why is because, first of all, the game just came out. I don't want to spoil the whole fucking thing. And there'll probably be people that'll cover it on YouTube and they'll like censor some things. But this does have full hentai. But there's probably a Steam version where they've like edited that stuff out. So, I mean, this game is available everywhere. It's on Jast, it's on GOG, it's on Steam. It's, you know, it's, check it out. It's $40 on sale for $35.99. It's a 45-hour game, and we're not done yet.
No, I got a piss.
Okay. And, that's all we got. So this is the Grimlord, and I'm out for Grimm's Hentai Corner with Tokyo Necro. Now go buy it. All
right, later.